of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love
Join me in prayer together. Lord, we are gathered here on this Pentecost Sunday, a day when your Holy Spirit came with great power into the life of thousands of people. And the church was born with power, with fire, a new community. We pray that your Spirit might be in this community, in this sanctuary, this morning. Fill our hearts. Let us praise you as you deserve to be praised. Give us words of song, of thanksgiving, and of delight, our great, magnificent, holy God.
I'm trading my sorrows
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure, that His joy's gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, something comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Good morning. It's a joy to have you in worship today on Pentecost Sunday. Beautiful spring day, finally. I've been getting to think that April showers bring May showers. I think they got that wrong here in Chicagoland. It's great to have you. Some announcements. There's a bunch in the bulletin here. Let me just draw your attention to a few. There's a special discussion group for the summer that's starting for higher level, I guess, junior, senior, high school students, college-age kids. If you're in that group and you'd like to be a part of this discussion group, it's called Directions. It's a place to talk about your future. That's headed starting on June the 9th. Love to have you be a part of that. Paul Ryman, stand up, Paul. He's the guy wearing the security shirt right there. That's the guy to see, and he'll get you coordinated on how that's going to work. Also, next week is All Music Sunday, and there is going to be a number of variety of folks sharing their musical gifts with us and helping us worship God next week. Besides the band, you'll be hearing some others, lots of different instruments. But we still have a space for anybody out there. If you have a song to share, let me know, and we will make sure that you become a part of next week's All Music and a little bit of Mike Sunday. And then June 14th, congregational meeting. It's going to happen between the services, so it'll be like really short sermon that day. You will not want to miss that one. But right in between the services on June the 14th, we'll be electing elders and deacons. You'll have a chance to review the annual report. Speaking of which, those are in your mailboxes right out there. And if you don't have a mailbox yet, there's a bunch of them out here in the Welcome Center. Just grab one. Find out what happened at Yorkfield in the last year. Also, just to bring your attention to some things that are happening this summer real quick, fellowship-wise and otherwise, there is something we're doing brand new, this thing called a theater hike. Have any of you been on one of these before? Well, I have not. Oh, the Bodies have. Okay. So at the Morton Arboretum, it's called a hike, but you really don't go very far. I think it's like a mile maybe. But you come to the Arboretum, you go, and people are going to perform for you part of an act or so. And then you'll hike a little bit further with your chair, put it down. They'll do a little another act for you. You'll hike a little bit further. They'll put a chair down. And so it goes like that through different parts of the Arboretum. Thought you might like to do that, so Fellowship decided to create that event. Let us know if you want to do that. The Run for Hunger, where we raise money to help feed folks in DuPage County and surrounding areas. July 26th, we need volunteers. You'll see a little place on that lovely tear-off tab for you to say that, oh yeah, I'd like to volunteer for that. Or not, just put that in there and put that in the offering when it comes by here in a bit. And then finally, for summer events that we're advertising now anyway, All Church Camp. There's some things for you to, you can grab them out here to say, I might be interested in All Church Camp. It's a wonderful time to come and just enjoy beautiful Lake Michigan, the shore near Saugatuck, Michigan. Sandy beaches, community, fellowship, and apparently flippers. Bill, you look like you're excited about all church camp at the end of August. What did he say?
I tried to say, I am your father.
Bill, what? All church camp. Snorkel. But Bill, there's a lot more to all church camp than snorkel. It's for. I mean, I know there's the lake there and all that, but we get there on Friday night. We have pizza. We learn. We do a little like group building stuff. We have a good time together. Fellowship. In the morning, breakfast together. You know, adults go off. They have a little study time. Kids go off and have their own study time. We lunch, and then the whole afternoon for. Yeah, you can snorkel. You can snorkel, but you could also swim, kayak. You can go into Saugatuck and shop. You could.
Snorkel.
Then there's dinner, then campfire at night, skits, songs.
Night snorkeling.
Now, Bill. Then Sunday, worship on the beach, right there, overlooking the beautiful lake. Then we do some games, we have lunch, and then sort of camp is officially over. You can go home, or you can stay as long as you want, and what would you be doing? Snorkeling. Okay, so. There you go. A place to snorkel and be in community. Thank you very much, Flipper Man.
Anytime.
Okay. So if you'd like to join... if you'd like to join me and Flipper Man and a host of others at Snorkel Camp, we love to have you be a part of that. Okay. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's a day when the Holy Spirit came with great power and force. It's the birthday of the church. Today, as you can see, that we are celebrating also Holy Communion. Know that this is not the table of Yorkfield Presbyterian. It's not our private meal. It's Christ's meal for you, and that you are welcome at this table. One of the things that we get to do every year, it's kind of joyful and yet sad at the same time, we get to recognize a milestone in the life of some members of our congregation. Today we're doing that by recognizing our graduating high school seniors. So if you're out there, we had some in the first service, we have others that are graduating today, are you in the service? Come on up here, come on Brandon, Clayton, come on up here.
Welcome, guys. It's a joy to see these two hit this milestone. Just reflecting that a couple weeks ago we had confirmation, and these two were up here just 4 years ago. It goes by so fast. Being confirmed, and as a church, we give them the study Bible, the NIV study Bible, as one of your tools to help equip you with your future. And today we present you with the message as another means to continue to look at God's Word in a different way, and we hope that as you continue your journey, we know God has great plans for both of you, and look forward to you keeping in touch and letting us know of that, and just that you can take these with you and keep them as reminders that we all love you, and we'll be continuing to thank you and praying of you as you continue. But I thought I'd give you guys each a chance, Clay Manconi and Brandon Mola, to share what your next step is going to be.
I'm going to UCLA, University of the Coast to the Lombard area. College of DuPage, College of Dreams. And then I'm going to probably get some business classes going and work with my dad.
All right.
I'm going to Columbia, and I'm going to be like music production or editing classes.
Great. All right, guys. We thank you for your time with us, and hopefully you will not be strangers. You'll come, Brandon, Mr. Manconi, play in the band for us from time to time as you're able to do that. And it's been a delight, and we are excited about where God is leading you in the years ahead and how you're going to be part of this great fellowship of His. So Godspeed and God bless you both. Mm-hmm. Children of the congregation, if you would come forward for our morning lesson together. We're going to come on over in this corner today. All right. Come on up here. You know, we didn't have any kids in the first service. I had to make an adult be a kid. Can you believe that? You guys can have a seat right there. He handled it pretty well. But then he wanted to go to activity time. What do you notice about the sanctuary that looks different today than it maybe looked last week? What have you noticed? Yes. There are different pictures? Like where? On the window? No, those have been there. Those have been there. Hang in there, though. What else do you see that's different? The plants? We might have moved them a little bit. Oh, these plants are probably new. This guy's new. But we probably moved them, but the other plants, they've been around for a while. What else? Do you see any different colors? Reds. You see the red up here on the wall of the chancel? And we got red here. What do you think that's all about? Why would there be red today? You got any ideas? It's what? It's Red Day. Yes, it is. It's Red Day. It has another day, though. It has another name. You know what that is? Pentecost. That's a big name, isn't it? You know, Penta, yes, Nick. You think it's about shepherds? Do you know a lot of shepherds that wore red? Maybe. It's Pentecost. You guys know what the Pentagon is? It's a building where the military, they sort of run the military. It has five sides. Penta means five. Pentecost means 50, actually. It's 50 days since we celebrated Easter. Remember Jesus coming out of the tomb and rising from the dead? This is 50 days later, and something really important happened on Pentecost. It was the birthday of the church, and it happened like this. It said there was a great wind. All the disciples were kind of staying in one place together in this house, and they'd been waiting and waiting. And Jesus said, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to be with you. And they're waiting, and then on that day, like 2,000 years ago today, this great sound like this huge wind tore through the house. This great violent wind, it said. And then it said on the top of everybody's head was there, it was like flames of fire, like a flame of fire on each of their heads. Do you have any idea what that would be like? Who wants to practice having a flame of fire on their head? You're the man. Come right here. All right. Here we go. This is flames of fire. Maybe it will be a little cheesy, but here we go. Are you ready? That's okay. We'll work our way. Look at that. This is a man with flames of fire on his head. What do you think? Can you imagine if you had that on your head, everybody's head here, we had like little flames of fire. Wouldn't that be wild? It would indeed. Yeah. If you want to, you guys can all pass under here and have flames of fire. We can go under. Go ahead. You can just walk underneath here. It'll be the flame of fire day. Flames under your head. Okay. Go ahead. Walk under here because something very important happens when you walk under here. Okay. Keep going. Are you feeling different? Keep walking. There you go. Feeling any different? What's going on? All right, keep going. Next in line, there you go. Ooh, flames of your head. All right, Nikki, flame of fire. All right, Dana, flames. Has everybody made it under? We got a couple more to go. Flames of fire over your head. All right, great. Oh, one more to go. There we go, flames of fire over your head. Now, do you feel any different? All right, how different do you feel? Feel like your head's warmer now, huh? Okay. You feel like you're a light. That's very good, Nick. You know what happened when those flames appeared over the heads of the disciples? All of a sudden, they started to speak in other languages. They got really fired up, kind of like red, you know, we think of fire. They got fired up, just like the flames over their head. They got really excited about telling people about Jesus. Do you guys get fired up? Do you like to do that? Or do you just go, when somebody says, tell me about Jesus, you got to go like, well, there was this guy. No. They were fired up and excited to tell about what had happened. And you know what else? Everybody that had one of these flames over their head began to speak in a foreign language. And other people that lived in the town there that came from far away would hear these disciples talking in their language. It was, and they could hear the disciples telling them how excited they were about what Jesus had done, how he'd healed people and fed the 5,000, and how he'd risen from the dead, and that you could be forgiven and know him. All of that was going on. Pretty amazing, huh? That's what Pentecost is all about. Pentecost was a time when the Holy Spirit came, and it came in these tongues of fire like over their heads, but it also came in everybody's hearts to give them that fire of the love of Jesus and to want to share that with others. How about you guys? Are you excited about sharing the love of Jesus? Yeah? Let's pray about that, okay? Let's bow our heads. Loving God, we know that just as you gave your Holy Spirit years ago in flames of fire, you are still giving your Holy Spirit to us today in our hearts to make us want to share your love, to be excited about it, to be fired up ourselves. We ask for that Holy Spirit today. Come and help us be excited about you. And all God's people say, amen. And now I'm going to read that story of that Pentecost. It's from Acts 2, a familiar passage to many of you. You can find it, though, on page 119 in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles that are right there in front of you. Before we read it together, though, let's pray. Lord, as you sent your Holy Spirit then, send it now to us as we read this story of the birth of your church. That it might not just be any story, but our story. May your Spirit come and be in the reading of these words, in our meditations, and in the way that we respond in the actions of our lives. And all of God's people say, amen. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem at that time, and at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it then that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Assyria, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Scripture says that suddenly from heaven there came this sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled that entire house where they were sitting. Where have we come across wind before, or the spirit, or breath? You Bible scholars know that that word for, especially in the Old Testament, but also in the New, the word for wind and for breath and for spirit, it's all the same word. It's ruach in Hebrew and pneuma in Greek. And we still have that in our own language, wherever you hear a word like pneumatic or pneumonia, you hear that sense of breath. You know, it's about breathing, but it's also the same word for where the wind blows, and it's also the word for spirit, the Spirit of God. And if you remember, it's in that breath and spirit shows up in some pretty amazing places. It's there at the very beginning of the Bible. The very beginning, what's it say? It says that the world, all of the earth, was formless and void. It was this chaos, but above the waters hovered the Spirit, the breath, the wind of God. And then from that place, things begin to change. God's Spirit blows and creation begins. A couple chapters later, it's there again, the same word, but this time instead of the God's Spirit hovering, it says that God breathed his breath into the man that he'd formed out of dirt, and he came to life. The breath of God, the Spirit of God. The same thing is going on here at Pentecost. There's no mistake that the wind comes, the Spirit, the breath of God blows mightily in this house because God is doing a new creation. He's creating the church. He's creating a brand new community. That's what the Holy Spirit does. At the heart of every new thing that God creates, the Spirit is there. The Spirit brings order out of chaos, and the Spirit brings life. The Spirit creates, brings order, brings life. One scholar said that Pentecost celebrates that day that the Holy Spirit and God of God came upon the church in power for the very first time. And like the breath in your lungs right now, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, the church will die like that. There's no church without the Spirit in it. Just like there's no you if you're not breathing. He goes on to say that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, the disciples, and then they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now imagine that scene. Imagine, first of all, you're not in that upper room, but you're one of these pilgrims that are there for this feast, because it was a special feast day. It had been Passover at the same time as Easter, and there was always a celebration 50 days after Passover for this other feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. So a bunch of pilgrims are there for that, because it was important, if you could, at one time in your life, to make it back to Jerusalem, to the holy city. At some time in your life, make that pilgrimage if you were part of the diaspora, part of the far-flung believers in Yahweh. And so you notice in that long list there's people from all the way from Rome. They're scattered all over sort of the entire region. You can imagine what it would be like to make a journey from Rome to Jerusalem in those days. And they're there, all of these people. And then they hear this commotion over in this one area, and all these people are fired up, and they're talking about God's great power in Christ, and they're hearing it in their own language from back at home, their own home language, and they're stunned by that. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. Now, something I'd like us to think about for just a little bit is, Why does the Holy Spirit come like that at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit could have come other ways, right? We get so used to reading these stories. The Holy Spirit could have decided to come and manifest himself in any number of ways, you know, some huge cosmic event in the sky or some... Or he could have come to the disciples in a different way. He could have just given them, you know, magical powers. They could have begun to levitate or something. Or he could have given them, you know, the powers to do miracles, to heal people, to be able to feed the 5,000 like Jesus, to do all the things that Jesus did, to walk on water, to do that stuff, turn water into wine. And some of them eventually do get those gifts, but not here. Not here. The Holy Spirit comes how? In language. In language. What's God trying to tell us? This first act of coming is in language to enable all to hear the gospel. Everyone in their own language, gathering all who are divided and bringing them together into one community of faith. Have you ever visited another country where they didn't speak your language, English? It can be fun to go someplace and you're walking down the street and they're talking another language and you don't understand it and it kind of feels exciting, you know, it's kind of exotic, it's great. Unless all of a sudden you find yourself in a bind, right? Or you really need something, or maybe you're sick, or there's an emergency, and you need to communicate, and you can't. That gets a little scary. It gets a little frustrating. It's a little tougher then. These folks have been in Jerusalem. They've come, these pilgrims from all these distant lands, to be there, and it's exciting. But I got to think that after so a little frustrated, they're not able to quite be a part of this community. We were in Tijuana a few years ago and on a mission trip. The first time we went, we had Steve Manconi back here, and that was great because Steve, he knows Spanish really well. He's in the building trades, and so we would go, and Steve would be our liaison, and it was really good until he'd get real excited and start speaking in Italian. But it was really great. But then a couple years later, we didn't have Steve, and we had to have another translator go with us. And we had this wonderful young woman, and she'd taken, you know, 8 million years of Spanish here in the States. And we went to Tijuana again. This time we're in Mexicali. And we're in Mexicali, and it was great. We got there, and then we discovered something. Though our wonderful translator knew lots of Spanish, she never had actually known any building trade type Spanish. So she didn't know the words for saw or hammer or wheelbarrow or tile cutter or grout or drill bit, any of the things we really needed to know. And to say the least, it was just a little bit frustrating trying to get any work done because we were trying to do everything by sign language. Margaret, you remember that? For a little while there, until we, like a day or so went by and our Spanglish kicked in or we found another translator, and it was very frustrating. Those of you who've been new parents and you get that new baby, you know, and you get to that point where, you know, how do I learn baby language? And when is that baby going to, you know, and you get to the point where you're holding the baby and the baby can go like, and you can kind of follow the finger and yeah, okay, baby wants this. But then there's all those moments where you're not sure what baby wants. And baby doesn't know how to tell you. And it makes this weird number of sounds and stuff. Does baby not feel good? Is baby hurting? Is that baby's ear hurt? Or is baby trying to tell me, I want to go to Culver's and get frozen custard? Or is baby saying, I want to go to Culver's, get frozen custard put in my ear? You know, you don't know. And you're in that, it's tough, it's hard. And then eventually they do begin to talk, and you're so relieved, you know, that now they can tell me where it hurts. But then, of course, they don't stop talking. But that's a whole other. You know, back in Jerusalem, you have all these devout pilgrims. They've made this journey to the festival. They've come from these lands, you know, far away for this once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's been exciting, probably disorienting, and now they've got to be frustrated. They certainly don't feel like part of the community. And then all of a sudden, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they begin to hear people speaking in their language, and this crowd just starts to gather around that house because these guys are fired up, and they're talking about Jesus. They're talking about the power of what has happened, of him living and dying and rising again, and that you can have forgiveness. And they're just like glued in because they're hearing it in their language from back home. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. Breaking down the barriers that divide us. Creating community. Breaking down, in this case, the barriers of language. And making all of these people hear and become one. The walls of separation come down. They hear this huge commotion. They hear, they understand. And they believe. And the church is born, and it says a little further in Acts, that day, 3,000 people were added to the faith. This new community, the church, was born. Now, there is a profound teaching from Pentecost, and very practical, I think, that comes out of this. That's worth learning because, of course, the Holy Spirit is not the only spirit in town. There are lots of other spirits. There's teen spirit, right? There's school spirit. There's team spirit. Go Cubs. Sox. Go Sox. There's the zeitgeist, you know, the spirit of the times. But there's also some dark spirits, right? Remember the spirit of the mob? When mobs do something that no individual would ever do. Or there's other forces of darkness that would try and lead us into temptation to do all kinds of things. And sometimes masquerade in very shiny, attractive clothing. How do we know the Holy Spirit from a different spirit? How do we discern the Holy Spirit? Well, Pentecost shows us. The Holy Spirit is always about creating community. Always about community. The Holy Spirit is always tearing down the walls of separation. That's your clue. The Holy Spirit is always furthering the conversation. The Holy Spirit is always increasing the dialogue between individuals, communities, nations. I like what I see going on right now with the Obama administration because I think they're trying to honor that sphere of the Holy Spirit. There's obviously some other countries out there that are not maybe wanting to be in conversation. But the Spirit says we have to keep talking. We have to keep rebuilding broken bridges. We have to repair the broken lines of communication. On the other hand, here's how you tell it's not the Holy Spirit. Every spirit that is divisive, that promotes divisiveness, is not the Holy Spirit. Every spirit that would try and break the community apart, that moves to separation, is not the Holy Spirit. So, for example, when that little voice inside of you says, I am not talking to that person again. I'm done with her. That's it for him. I am not talking to them again. That is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. It might be the voice of a wounded ego. It might be the voice of a broken heart. And those are legitimate. You might very well have a legitimate beef. But it's not. It's not the Holy Spirit speaking in your heart. The Holy Spirit speaks to say, it's time to forgive. It's time for you to make the first move to try and reconcile with this person. The Holy Spirit is the one that says, no, no, no. Don't give up. Keep the dialogue open. That's always the Holy Spirit. We hear them in our own language. Can you imagine what it must have been like for those pilgrims from those faraway lands to hear the good news of the gospel coming to them in their home language, like like hearing it from a brother or sister lost in a foreign land. Each of us has our own language as well, right? I'm not talking about English here or German or whatever maybe your native language was or is. I'm talking about the language of the heart, your personal language. The words in the deep places inside of you. The Holy Spirit speaks that language too. Your home, personal home language. Connecting our heart to God. Connecting heart to heart. Would you find that language right now and pray with me? Holy Spirit, tear down the walls that separate us. Bind us into one community. Speaking one language of faith. And in all those places in our personal lives where the lines of communication have broken down, and Lord, you know where they are. Those people that we aren't eager to talk to, that we've been shying away from, that we really know it'll be really hard to reopen up that conversation. Come. Send your Holy Spirit to repair those broken places, to heal the wounds, to work for reconciliation in our families, and in our communities and world. Come, Holy Spirit, and do this work in us, your great work of building community, binding us together. Come, let the walls fall down. God has gathered us into this community here. Before we come to gather around the table, we share as the body of Christ, our joys and our concerns together. First of all, to let you know, really should be Beth Friesdammers up here sharing concerns, but I got a call from her that she was very sick this morning, so remember Beth in your prayers. Also, Roxanne DeApril will be having knee surgery on June the 3rd, just coming up in the middle of the week. Carol Spittler, we've been praying for her. She had a biopsy, and it has been confirmed she's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. She's going to be starting chemotherapy very soon, probably this next week. Carol was in worship at the first service. She's very strong. She has a wonderful faith. Obviously, this is very serious, but keep her in your prayers. And then our office assistant, Kristen Sterling. I don't know, some of you have met Kristen. Kristen had an extensive emergency heart surgery last Sunday morning. She had a ruptured aorta. She set a record at Elmhurst Hospital for the longest surgery, like 16 or 17 hours for this particular heart group. It was kind of touch and go, but she's getting much stronger. I saw her yesterday. She was feeling at least strong enough to watch the Cubs. And hopefully she'll be out of ICU today or tomorrow, in the hospital another week, and then home for a month or so at least. So we're thankful that it seems like she's turned that corner. Some joys to share with you. All of our graduating seniors, of course, in addition to Brandon and Clay, we also are thankful for Brendan Carney, Sean Gorski, Nick Keller, Elizabeth Lawrence, Zach Price, and Glenn Taylor. And then at the first service, we welcome today new members, Chris and Amanda Ward. So we're excited about that. C.J. Plyter has been struggling with some nasty headaches for quite a while now, some bad stuff, and we are happy to report that those have gone away, right, C.J.? Excellent. That's great. And then, it's hard to believe, she just seemed like a child the other day, but Colleen Doyle is engaged, so we share that good news with you as well. Let's turn our hearts to God. Lord, your Holy Spirit comes to build us into community, such an intimate community that you call it your body. That closely are we bound to you. Your hands and feet, your eyes and ears, to be about your work in this world. And as the body, we hurt wherever one part of our body hurts, we all hurt. So we pray for these whose bodies are hurting, whose lives are uncertain. We pray for each of them and for others that are near to us that I haven't mentioned. We pray for healing, for wholeness, for freedom from fear, and trust in you. And as a body that hurts, we also as a body celebrate together. We celebrate new members added to the body. For these graduating seniors that have been a part of our body for a while and who now go out with our and your blessing into the next stages of their lives to serve you, your body near and your body far. We thank you for healing, for CJ, for new promise beginnings for Colleen. Loving God, we pray for a world that is fractured, that all of us might learn to listen for your Holy Spirit and not be tempted by the spirits of divisiveness. By your power, may we be the ones that take the initiative to bridge the gaps, to work to reconcile, to heal and to make whole. That is the task that you've given us. Give us your power, O God, to do what you called us to do. And now we pray the prayer that your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our offense, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I welcome you to this, the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the table of the community. A table that disciples gathered around 2,000 years ago as he shared with them what was going to happen. A table in where we are reminded what the price of community cost, the blood of Christ, his death on our behalf. But a table, it also reminds us that within the community right now, Christ is with us, alive and well. And a table that also reminds us of the community that is to come. For we're also told in Scripture of this great messianic banquet where we'll all be gathered around a great table in heaven. All of those of the faith that have gone before us, all that will come after, gathered around this table in eternity. The symbol of intimate community. The promise of that always. Welcome to Christ's table. If you're visiting with us, our tradition is that you come forward through the center aisles for receiving the bread and the cup, and then back through the side to your pews. If you're unable to come forward, we'll come to you after everybody else has been served. The Scripture tells us that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, having supper with his disciples, he took a piece of bread and, giving thanks for it, he broke it. And he handed it to them, saying, This is my body broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took a cup. And as he poured it for them, he said, This is the new covenant in my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it, all of you, in remembrance of me.
Set apart.
my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you.
Go from this place as members of Christ's community. You go taking that community with you and to be community builders where the Spirit leads you, to build bridges, to heal broken relationships. It's hard work, but you don't go alone. The Holy Spirit precedes you. The Holy Spirit is waiting for you. The love of God, the grace of Christ, all go with you out these doors tomorrow and always. Amen.